And I'd keep being like, yo, man, what are you doing? And he would just call me names and be like, my dad would let me smoke cigarettes. And I would have to be like, well, I'm not your dad, and you could do that with him. And like, I don't want to go to jail because the police are right here and they're looking at me waiting for you to smoke a cigarette with all these people.
You're listening to the Makey Words Podcast.
You're finding out 10 years late. What do you think about that?
It's the business model. It's the business model. And we just looked at each other horrified.
Do you think, this is probably a stupid joke, this maybe like edges into dad territory, but don't you think it's funny? Like, I still sometimes accidentally put a shirt on backwards. But like when Crisscross would accidentally put their shirt on backwards, it would just be normal. And I don't know why that like tickles me, that they would look down at this shirt on the way it's supposed to be and be like, fuck.
Ah, shit.
Take it off.
I might just be thinking of like the essentially like Crisscross Looney Tunes t-shirt I had. But if that was any indication of Crisscross's actual regular dress code, which I think it is, but I don't really remember, but it was like a baseball jersey, so it all but so you can't really fuck that up, especially because you can't button it. You need help. You put your arms through it like a smock in elementary school art class, and someone's got to button you up.
You think if Crisscross did a reunion tour, there'd be a lot of people there?
Yeah,
I don't
like, yeah. What's that demographic?
I
of
think
people
they
who want to relive Crisscross.
It's the 90s demographic. So like,
but they would have to be on a festival of fucking horror and sadness.
Yes.
Where it's just, let's wheel out the next meme before memes.
They can't
do it. Here I am. I wore my clothes back and I rapped while I did it. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
I bet you they could do anywhere between like in A markets. I bet you they could pull probably like 350 to maybe 1,000.
I bet there's more.
You know,
I would bet there's more.
But I don't know the
gimmick.
If it was them, dude, and like Jodeci and like, you know, like Belle Biv DeVoe and like these other
PM
like,
Dawn.
Yes,
them, PM Dawn, and All for One.
All for One, dude.
Yeah.
Woo.
Were they I Swear?
Color Me Bad.
They were I Swear.
What a revelation that song was for me. They were like the after school special of boy bands.
I had that cassette single.
No shit, really?
Oh yeah. I mostly had cassette singles.
It made me feel
singles.
Uncomfortable. It sounded like worship music. It sounded like God music.
I don't think at that point I had encountered any worship music.
What song?
Like they were.
I Swear.
And I Swear.
Oh, okay.
By the moon and the stars in the sky, I'll be there. I'll be there. Yeah. Oh, he's there.
God is there. God is there.
I do get that. I have never thought of it like that, but you're right.
I don't remember at this point, but I remember thinking in the video that it looked like these guys don't look like they would hang out. When I was a little kid, it was something. I remember the feeling of like, I don't believe them.
I know they
I don't
felt
know why.
More. They felt more curated, like whereas like especially still
yeah.
in the you know, while Boyz II Men is still a huge group, it's like these dudes seem like they like each other. They're like
yes,
there was like a
they
synergy
share
there.
A vibe. They share a vibe.
Yes,
like. There is there like when they dress the same, they don't look awkward. Mm-hmm. But like All for One did seem like there was just like a citywide, like on street level, find people who can sing and we're going to shoot a music video with them in an hour. Whatever they're wearing is fine. It doesn't matter at all. Like it just seemed like a random grab bag of like of people in a weird way that I don't know if the, you know, it's probably super shallow. I'm sure they sang in great harmony. I mean, you had the single, so
I did.
It touched a lot of people, but yeah, I remember thinking back then, this is a weird one.
I don't know why I'm reminded of this, but I did. Did I tell you guys about going to see Lily play viola with her, like, the huge band.
And no.
Then, I don't know why you're reminding me of this, but it was funny that, like, between each song that were, or the teacher that was, like, the conductor would, like, close out and then step aside and, like, take the applause. And then the next song is a song by, you know, Pierre Poulet. And it was written in 1686. This song, I think you'll remember it, is called A Bubba or Hot Cross Buns. And then, like, Hot Cross Bun. But, like, the way that she explained every song, you know, or, like, old MacDonald had a farm, you know, like she would talk about it like it was some, you know, I don't know, important classical piece. And, like, we will now be performing, you know.
Yeah, our only experience with that is, like, Mr. Massey, who seemed apologetic when he would announce us doing anything. It was more like, now this absolute fucking shit show of a band that I have been tasked with chaperoning.
Look, I have tried.
Is about to perform Shiloh Canyon Fantasy. And it is, I'm telling you now, we didn't get enough time or money.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear the song, but we're playing Shiloh Canyon Fantasy. There is something so fun about just remembering the sight of this man conducting to the point of, like, panic breaths and sweat, profuse sweat, but who you could see also hated his job. Like, he definitely hated his job and didn't hide it, but he gave his all when he was doing it. You could tell, like, he truly loved music, but looking back on it, he was always so let down with the band. So let down with the band.
Well, I would imagine to some extent that's, like, the plight of the teacher. Like, you know, like, you care enough about a subject that you specialize in.
Yeah, but some schools are awesome.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, maybe it's a different talent pool. But I'm just saying, like, the idea of, like, I got to try to get a group of 10-year-olds to make this song sound like a thing that people will recognize. Like, what's funnier for me to imagine is a band director or even a coach of a team or something, like, before the game doing some soft version of, now please understand, this is no reflection on my abilities to play music. Listen,
if you represent a different school with possibly a higher arts budget, I can work wonders. I turned these F-minus kids into D-minus kids. What could I do with C+?
Casey, you were in middle school, high school band as well?
Yeah.
What did you play?
I played the electric bass.
That was an option in regular band?
Yeah, dude. This band sucked.
I just let people play anything.
They sucked. It was so bad. There was no budget. There was no instrument there. It was like, you have an electric bass? All right, well,
you're doing
play the
that.
Tuba part. You're playing a tuba part. All right, now play this part. Play that part. And I couldn't read music. I think I've told you guys this. I just had my friend write. Or no, he could read music, but he would write the note value over, or the note name over every note in the staff music. And then I would just copy it.
I had a dream the other night that I was out and about running band errands, miscellaneous things, going to just stores and shit.
Well, hold on. You had a dream that you were running band errands?
Yes, but hold on. None of this makes sense. None of this makes sense at all.
I appreciate that you have a dream about us.
Well, so I had a dream that I had to run band errands.
That's fine.
Yeah, like I said, it's this semi nondescript thing of, like, I was just in stores. Basically, I was just busy in a building.
Buying pens, buying papers, buying folders.
Bowling, whatever you want to imagine.
But making laminates.
But the second half of this was I had to look after it was one of those things that like it wasn't a real person, but I understood it in my dream. So it was one of you all's kids. Not any of your actual kids. Like this could have been Sauce's kid. It was like an 8-year-old boy and he was a fucking asshole. It was like the kid from Problem Child. But so basically what kept happening was, so like I'd be in a store doing a thing and then I couldn't find this kid. And every time I would go out back and he was trying to smoke cigarettes with like the cool kids that worked at the store. And I'd keep being like, yo man, what are you doing? And he would just call me names and be like, my dad would let me smoke cigarettes. And I would have to be like, well, I'm not your dad, and you could do that with him. And like, I don't want to go to jail because the police are right here and they're looking at me waiting for you to smoke a cigarette with all these people. And it was just him being pissed and running away and then me chasing after him, being in a store, and then we're together until he leaves to smoke a cigarette. And it was real weird.
So this is a dream, not a bad dream or a nightmare. This is a dream, you say.
It was just the thing I recall from my sleep times.
I don't know if I would qualify a dream where I am being inconvenienced as a nightmare. I feel like that's a particular kind of dream. I don't think I would label it.
Well,
you know what I mean? I wouldn't wake up from a dream like that and be like, God, I just had this crazy nightmare where we're staying in the DMV. There was this woman behind me who just fucking reeked. And she just kept getting closer and closer. And I was standing there for like 30 minutes. So I wouldn't describe that as a nightmare. I think it makes sense that he described it as a dream. It's a dream.
Yeah.
But so it was
unless
a normal
that kid
day
like
dream.
Unfolded and became something else or something.
So this is what's semi-funny about this. And I'll try to describe this as succinctly as I can. But I rarely ever remember my dreams. And I didn't remember this one. But I woke up. I woke up
Wait,
super stressed out.
Are we not
out.
Talking about it?
Let me finish the story.
And we're not talking about it right now.
So I woke up really stressed and anxious, and I've been having that with work lately, but I look at my phone as soon as I wake up because I just assume something has happened. And one of the brewers at one of the shops is no longer working, and it gives a very specific error message where it's like, you know, this cup, overflow cup is full, please empty. And so I start Googling this to try to figure out how to tell someone to empty the overflow cup. But it turns out the troubleshooting suggestions have nothing to do with that. Basically, if you get this error message, it means there are all kinds of other problems that you can't even solve. So it's really? Like, why does it say that, first of all? But so me being me,
it's just a fucking inside joke that the machine has with itself.
Pretty much. But so I'm responding.
They'll never know why I'm fucked up.
But so sorry. I'm texting someone back and they're like, well, what can I do? Should I try to find this overflow cup? And I was like, my response was something like, no, because all the suggestions to fix this are really stupid. It's like the overflow cup has a nicotine addiction and it needs to be grounded. And it was just like, that was my like bullshit whimsical answer. But then as I'm like thinking about why I sent that, it was like, holy shit, I had a dream. I had to chase down someone's fucking cigarette addict child all day long while trying to do band work. And yeah, it was just a weird thing.
How do you guys,
what was that, Sauce?
I was just going to say that O.J. Simpson died today.
Yeah,
man.
He died?
Sure did.
Dead.
Was it murder? Because that'd be kind of cool.
No. Ironic.
It was cancer, dude.
Well, that's a kind of murder.
Murdered by cancer.
Yeah, murdered by cells.
Sure.
Yeah, so I guess everything's a murder if you look at it that way.
No, because not everything is a living organism, and cancer is a living organism.
Fuck that, man. Whatever you say.
I'm with Nick on this one. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Man. Fuck that, man.
Yeah. Fuck that. So now that he's gone, do we think he actually did it?
Yes, everyone already knew that he did it.
I think it was pretty widely
he
accepted.
He all but
that
released
definitely
a single called I Did It. I'm OJ Simpson and I did it. Well, I don't think it would surprise anyone if he like released a whole movie of him just saying he did it in different ways.
You remember I think he released a book. Yeah. Well, it was called If I Did It. The graphic design was I Did It.
All he did was that
it was quite small, I think.
There you go. Exactly. Yes. So, yes, he did it.
Yeah.
He didn't need to okay. die for us to say it either.
Oh, boy. No, I think people have been saying it forever.
I haven't felt comfortable talking about it.
No? Were you afraid he was going to come for you?
I felt very uncomfortable talking about OJ and giving
my
opinion.
Don't worry, Sauce. You're the safest you've ever been because allegedly he was unwilling to come back to Los Angeles out of fear that he found the person that murdered his beloved wife.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
And his what he would beloved. Do or something?
Or what would happen to him for that matter? What a monster.
He was in Vegas, know? Right? He was living in Vegas?
Yeah, he was in Vegas robbing casinos. Well, just the one. But that happened.
Anybody got
any acid?
Anybody got any acid?
Yo, the guy that I work with that loves music loves to tell me about how in the 90s he moved from Salt Lake City. Knows Kilby Court. We talked Kilby Court. As soon as he was like, "You ever play Salt Lake?" I was like, "Yeah, what's the place that we use?" It was kind of like a middle of nowhere little shack. He's like, "Kilby Court? You play Kilby Court?" I guess it's like, you know, whatever. Every band has gone through like huge, and he could be doing the like, "Oh, I saw Radiohead for three people" kind of thing.
I saw the Beatles play Kilby Court, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, but who was he saying? He said he saw Mazzy Star at Kilby Court.
I believe that.
And I don't know, some other people. But then he said he basically did acid for 4 years.
Hell yeah.
And tried to figure out who he was. And by the end of it, he says it with a sense of humor. Like, he's not proud of it, but also knows that it was just the thing that he did. There's no whatever with it. But he was like, "Dude, by the end of it, I was wearing thermal pajamas, buckled Doc Martin boots, with then ripped pajama pants over the thermal pajamas. The legs that he cut off the pajamas, he wore as a hat, like bandana on the head, you know, kind of over and then drooping off the back. And a denim jacket with a wife beater on underneath." And then he said he was surprised that people would see him and pick him out and be like, "This guy probably knows where to get drugs." I said, "You know exactly why people would come to you and say this guy knows where to get drugs, walking around looking like that street urchin, land pirate." Land pirate is my favorite. He likes street to say pirate up as like if you're grabbing a saw or something and you need to like put weight into it. He's like, "Pirate up." I've never heard that before.
I've never heard of pirates being synonymous with strength. That's like, yeah. I've never heard of them being synonymous with weakness, but it's never been like, "Do it strong like a pirate." You know,
I think the
character that your brain goes to when you're like, archetype of strength.
He probably pirate. Really just loves pirates, hence the way he dressed as a youth. But
that's what I mean. It's got to come from some other place. That's like, this is your own lore that you're asking me to accept. I guess I will.
It's just been kicking around in the back of my head as like, "Oh, maybe that's a dated slang that I don't know about." And then I haven't had the time to Google it. Yeah. So I was curious if you guys have ever heard. Well, it's happened a lot where I ask you guys, like, "Have you ever heard of blah, blah, blah?" And you go, "Yeah, of course." So I thought.
Maybe. Right.
Just puts on a
But anything
hat.
With up after it seems slightly like more modern. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something up.
Yeah. What came first? Word up?
Yeah, I guess word up's been around for a very long time.
Is it an old timey slang? Word up?
Word up?
I mean, it's not Victorian.
At least 70s, 60s. Like, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Word up?
I know I've heard buck up.
Yeah.
Definitely man
I've heard
up.
Shut up.
Yeah, but as far as like put something into it. Yeah, bro up.
I remember the game Butts Up.
Butts Up. How was that game
What's
played?
That from? Oh, it's a fucking Simcoe Street Mob song. God damn it. Sorry, I got
it's
that.
A what?
How's
Street
it
Mob?
Go? How's it go?
It's a Simcoe Street Mob song. I don't know. I didn't like that one. It just says something like, instead of what's up, I say butts up. That's pretty much it. That's the punchline.
Wasn't Butts Up, you played it with the tennis ball on a handball,
a handball court. Okay, I don't know about
and it. And it wasn't it like when you would lose, you'd have to run up and face it, and they would throw the ball at your ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know why I played it a few times, but after that, it was like, I don't want to win or lose this game.
I think there are a lot of sporting activities where that becomes a consequence of a specific drill or game. Because there's
chuck
like
the ball at the weakest one.
Yeah, or even it's just like you. Like, I've seen soccer players do a thing where they, spin a cone or something, and then whoever it points at gets the ball, and everyone runs away, and you just try to beam someone else with the ball. Or people will be last in a drill, and they have to stand in front of the goal with their ass facing someone taking a penalty.
So yeah, I'm sure it arose
masculine
out of that
hazing
general.
As old as time.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Max.
I'm sorry for being late. I genuinely, I didn't even realize it was Thursday until I saw you guys' text. It was like, I was already shit deep in a job that I fucked up and had to spend extra hours fixing. So,
did you say that you were shit deep?
Yeah. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't know. Came out of my mouth. It was just, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a thing.
Shit deep.
I have no defense of it. I'm not making words right.
I think you're doing great.
Fine.
Shit dip.
All right, guys.
Shit dip.
I am shit dip. Call me Max Shit Dip.
And we just looked at each other, horrified.
They make you words.
They know. My time has come. The algorithm knows.
The making words.
We have fun, okay? We have fun.